Why don't we pray and then talk a little bit? God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, because you love us. Thank you, God, that you've given us this time that we can come together and read your word. I pray, God, that through your spirit that you would speak to us as we look at Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So we are slowly but surely going through the book of Matthew. And the idea as we go through the book is that we would, and we're really getting into this now, is that we'd be able to look at Jesus' example and listen to his words and be able to obey him, what he said, and imitate what he did. So now we spent quite a bit of time studying the story when he really wasn't doing a lot, and now he is. So we get to listen to him, we get to watch him, we get to learn to imitate him better. Today, the story that we're going to look at calls out, at least to me, a very devastating cycle that I think is common to everybody to varying degrees. And as I'll explain it, and you can decide if you think it's common to you. I think it's common to most of us, whether you're a Christian or you still aren't a Christian. If you're consider yourself mature or you're relatively new at this, this is something that I think is common for all of us. It's that temptations come along and they take us by surprise and we don't recognize them in the moment and we end up falling in them and we do whatever in the moment and it's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have, but we did. And then, you know, we get back up and keep going on and then it happens again and again. And temptations tend to take us by surprise, which is why, well, we end up doing quite a lot of repenting because we don't recognize the temptation in the moment. What we do recognize is the situation. We see the situation. We're very conscious of what's around us, the people that are around us, and what they're saying, and the opportunity, what I could do, what I could say, what I could take, and we're conscious of our feelings, what I want to do, that overwhelming feeling of. I just have to say this piece of gossip. I just can't. This person's right there. I mean, the situation and the feeling or I'm just upset out of my mind with my children. I have to just let off steam. I have to yell at somebody. Hey, we know what we feel and we know what the situation is. We're very conscious of that, but we end up falling to the temptation because we don't recognize the temptation in that moment. And so we end up, well, justifying what we do. It wasn't that bad. I say that when I haven't recognized the temptation and I've fallen in and I'm like, oh, well, okay, it wasn't, you know, that bad. It's not a huge thing. Nothing's going to happen. Did anybody see me? Did anybody hear me say that? Okay, we're good. I'm in the car with the windows rolled up. It's just my family. I can apologize to them. No one else saw. We end up not taking the temptations as seriously as we probably should. We don't realize how much a temptation will affect us spiritually. We don't realize how much it will affect our life. And then when the temptation has taken us by surprise and we've fallen and we get back up, we end up blaming. Well, it's kind of what I had to do. I mean, you would have done the same thing. It, aside from not being that bad, it's in that moment, you know, that's I was with all these people and everybody else was, and I couldn't resist. I tried to, but I couldn't resist. And this is a devastating cycle of falling into temptation that takes us by surprise that we don't recognize because it has devastating consequences on us. Because every time that I fall into that same temptation and I lose my patience, whatever it is, the guilt and the condemnation just gets piled on. I did it again. That's just the way I am. I'm really not that good. I hope no one finds out what I'm really like. That gets piled on. I feel weak and I feel overcome because I've said before, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to talk to my wife that way, but I did it again, and could I be any weaker? I'm not going to get mad at that person at work in my heart. Don't say anything because I don't want to get fired, but in my heart, I'm not going to let my emotions run amok inside of me. did it again. I'm so weak. I feel like I'm enslaved. Every time I fall into the same temptation and feel the same thing or do the same thing or say the same thing over again, something in my mind tells me, that owns you. You're a slave to that. No matter how much you say you're going to stop doing that, you know you never are, aren't you? And I agree with that in my mind. And as I fall into temptation, inevitably I ruin friendships and maybe my health, maybe opportunities. I do things that I can't take back. I say words that I can't undo. And two things to note, two little footnotes. If we're going to talk about temptations, as we obviously are, if we're going to talk about sin today, which the two things we have to note. One is, this is for everybody, but it's different for everybody. Here's what I mean. This is for everybody because we all are tempted and we all have sin and we all fall into temptation. If you are a Christian, see this we're going to talk about today, it describes your battle, describes my battle. If you're a child of God, if you gave yourself to Jesus by repenting and being baptized, making the decision to follow him, then what we're going to look at today as we talk about temptations is our battle. It's your battle. It's what in this and what we're going to look at today is directly applicable to you. If you still aren't a Christian, if you haven't made that decision, if you're thinking about becoming a Christian and following Jesus, and you haven't given yourself to Him, and you haven't repented and been baptized, if you haven't made that decision, then what we're going to talk about today isn't your battle yet. Because the biggest thing that you need to do in your relationship with God is not battle against individual temptations and try to snuff out individual sins in your life. It is to give yourself to the Savior and become a child of God and receive His Spirit and forgiveness. But what you'll see today as we talk about this, if that describes you, if you still aren't a Christian, is that it is what your battle will be when you become a Christian and how you will be called to battle against your flesh. That's one note. This is for everybody. The second note is whenever we talk about temptations and sin, we have to remember Christ. We have to remember a couple things. We have to remember the grace that comes through the cross. So whenever I talk about temptations, I'm reminded of how weak I am. Same may be true for you. And I have to remind myself, as I'm reminding myself of how I need to battle temptations better, I have to remind myself, because I'm in Christ, my weaknesses, at times when I don't battle temptations well, are covered by the cross. They're covered by His blood. They're covered by grace. God loves me when I vanquish temptation and when I am overcome by temptation because I'm His child. There is no condemnation for me because I am in Christ. That's what Romans 8:1 says. That's the message of the gospel. I have to remember that when I'm thinking about temptation. So just tuck that away and remember it. And that's not all you remember when you remember Christ. When we talk about temptations, we remember that we're also called to be like Christ. That grace covers us, but being in Christ calls us to be like Him. 1 John 2:6 says, everyone who claims to be in Him should walk as He walked. We're called to imitate Him. So remember Christ, both the cross and His call to be like Him. So what do we do with this cycle of temptations surprising us and we don't recognize them and then we fall into them and then we realize afterwards that was a temptation? Have you ever been in that situation? I mean, we all have. So in the moment, you're like, I'm not going to do this. I don't know if I should, but you do it, you say it, you think it, you feel it. And then afterwards, you're like, oh, that was a temptation. That was like a perfect setup. The right person was there. I knew the right information. And the one I love doing is gossip because that just, I mean, I'm not saying I love gossiping, but we kind of all do. Proverbs says that. But the one I love using, the example I love using is gossip because we all do we all gossip, so we all know what that's like. So, you know, the person was right there, and someone else had just told me something, and then the person who I really would want to tell that to just appears before me, and we're talking, and they ask me the question, and I remember what I know about this other person, and it's right there, and I have to say it, and I do. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, that was a temptation. I was perfectly set up, and I fell. We recognize it after the fact. And what we're going to see today in the text, go to Matthew 4, is this big idea that if you can recognize temptation in the moment, you can fight against it. And if you're saying, well, that's a simple big idea. Did I get out of bed for that? Well, is this really helpful, at least for me? Maybe I'm just a simple, I am a simple person, but just go with me on this. This is a really, really helpful big idea that we're going to see in the text today, that if you can recognize temptation in the moment. See, as Christians, we're good about recognizing it afterwards, and then we repent and we say, God, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. But if we can recognize temptation in the moment or even before we're tempted, if we can anticipate the temptations as they are coming down the road, if we're in the middle of a situation, go, wait a second, everything I'm feeling right now and I'm about to just explode and yell at my kids or get in an argument with my wife or whatever the thing is in the moment, and I, wait a second. This is a temptation. If we can recognize the temptation in the moment, we can fight against it, and we can overcome it. If we don't recognize it in the moment, though, the opposite is true. It will overcome us. And I think we could all pass the microphone around, except it's not wireless, so we couldn't. But if we could, we could pass the microphone around, take the rest of our time telling of examples from our own lives of how didn't recognize the temptation, fell into it. Didn't recognize the temptation, caught me by surprise, fell into it. If I only could have recognized it in the moment. So where do we see that in the text? Go to Matthew 4. This is one of the many times that Jesus was tempted throughout his life. And this time we get the story with a lot of details. And one thing that you'll see in this story is that there's a lot we could talk about, but today what we're going to talk about is, you'll notice, Jesus wasn't taken by surprise. Double negative, so just watch for it. He didn't not recognize a temptation, so he recognized the temptation. He didn't get caught up and say, and then fall into temptation, then afterwards go, whoa, I just sinned. I shouldn't have done that. That was a temptation. He recognized it in the moment. And in his example, what he did, we will be able to see what we should do when we are tempted. Let's read the story, and then we'll talk about some applications from it. Matthew 4. Verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest your foot strike against a stone. And Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So Jesus is tempting. You see three temptations and three responses to those temptations. And each time, Jesus recognized the temptation. He recognized in the moment, I'm being tempted. This is something I shouldn't do. He recognized them for what they were. They were traps from the devil that he was being led into. It was his flesh that wanted that, and he said no each time. And see, the thing that I want us to see today, and this isn't the whole story, but this is part of it, and this is very essential for us. We imitate Jesus when we're tempted. When we recognize the temptations in the moment of temptation. And again, if you're thinking, well, that would be a good Sunday school lesson for little kids who are just starting, but we know that. Yeah, but how often do we get caught up in a moment and don't recognize that I'm being tempted and don't see it for what it is? We imitate Jesus when we recognize in the moment when we're being tempted. Jesus recognized that in the moment that they were temptations. They weren't just a combination of his desires and the situation. And there's some rocks. I could turn them into stones and make them. I wonder, is that a temptation? Is that what I want? I'm hungry, so maybe I should do that. He saw for them for what they were. He was able to discern. That's a temptation. That I should not do that. He saw where it came from. He saw where the temptation came from. He saw, okay, this is not just a good idea or an option or something I thought of. This is coming from my enemy, the devil, and he is tempting me. He's offering me something. He's setting up the circumstances. He's waking up my flesh. He's tempting me, and my flesh, the human side of me, wants this. It wants to rebel against God. It's recognizing where the temptations come from. And this, when you read the story, he's having a conversation with Satan. And I don't know about you, but when I'm tempted, luckily I've never heard an audible voice of the devil. That's probably why I'm still standing here and not, you know, scared literally out of my mind. We don't have that audible conversation, but we have to recognize where temptations are coming from. It may be a thought, it may be a desire, it may be other people, it may be opportunities. Just because we don't hear the audible voice of Satan, we have to remember where the temptation comes from and recognize it in the moment. This isn't just me thinking this up. I'm being tempted by my enemy and by my flesh. And then we have to recognize temptations for what they are. See, as you read this, Jesus very clearly saw, well, I don't know, maybe I should do that, maybe I shouldn't. No, he saw the temptation for what it was each time. That's rebellion against God. And see, I tend to blur the lines when I'm being tempted because I want it so bad, whatever that. I want to, you know, explode, or I want to gossip, or I want to whatever. I want to buy something that I don't need. That's greed. I want to do something that I shouldn't do. I want it, so I start blurring the lines of, is this really? Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe it's sin. I don't know. Jesus very clearly recognized the temptations for what they were. This is rebellion against God. This is disobeying my Father. And that's part of us recognizing the temptations, is in that moment having that clarity and say, no, this is sin. This is rebelling against God. And it doesn't say it here, but I think this is true. So I'm going to say it, and you decide. I think Jesus also recognized the consequences of falling into these temptations. It wasn't just, well, I could, and then I could eat some bread, and then, you know, then we're done with that, and I could go on. And no, if I disobey my Father, then that messes with the whole plan of redemption. I no longer have lived a perfect life and die an undeserved death. No, I'm just like every other man who has ever lived, every other woman who has ever lived. I've rebelled against God. He recognized the consequences, and we imitate Jesus when in the moment of temptation we're able to see that is a temptation. It's rebelling against God. It's being offered to be by my enemy and by my flesh, and there are consequences to this. I will be corrupting myself. I will be starting to walk away from God. I will be putting out the voice of the Holy Spirit. I will be separating myself just a little bit from the Father. There are spiritual consequences when we disobey God, and we have to recognize that. So, practically speaking, how do we recognize temptations in the moment? Not afterwards. That's easy. Conscience kicks in, guilt kicks in, Satan kicks in. Have you ever noticed that? How it's like Satan sets everything up. Maybe not Satan himself, you know, but the evil forces, Satan, demons, the enemy of our soul, our flesh. Everything sets the temptation up just perfectly. The person, the people, the opportunity, the thoughts, the desires, the emotions. Everything is perfect, and then we fall. And then what does our enemy do? He holds it up, runs the movie over in our minds, and look what you just did. Look how you just spoke to your family. Look what you just, can you believe you did that? You are a horrible person and a horrible Christian. Are you even God's child? The voice of the accuser condemning us. He lets us know afterwards that was a temptation and you fell. He gloats over us. But how do we recognize temptations in the moment or before they happen? There's three things that we have to know in order to recognize the temptations. First thing, I think we see these here with Jesus. You have to know yourself. You have to know what your weaknesses are. My weaknesses are not your weaknesses necessarily. We probably share some. For the most part, most of us have a different, unique set of weaknesses. Things that we are predisposed to in our flesh. Things that I really like doing, that I would really, if I fell in anything, it would be this, this, and this. And I have a whole big list of things that I just really aren't attractive to me. And I will never fall, never say never. They're not things that I'm going to, that's not who I am. They have no appeal to me. But then there's some things that have a huge amount of appeal to me. Okay, we're all that way. And there are also moments when I'm more susceptible. I'm really good about the sin of gluttony for most of the day. Yeah, okay, I can confess. I'm going to go home after this and I'll forget. So transparent. I'm really good about gluttony for most of the day. And then at about midnight, sometimes 12:30, the TV is on. And if I go to the kitchen and prepare food for myself, chances are it's going to be double or triple what I should eat, and then I'll have dessert, and there's moments when I'm really, really susceptible to different temptations, and I'm not making that up. That's like my everyday story. There's moments when we're susceptible. If you're alone, you're hungry, you're tired. When I hear some really good news about somebody else, oh, I'm susceptible to telling that to somebody else. There's moments when we're susceptible to different temptations. You have to know yourself in order to recognize the temptation. That's what Jesus did. I don't think it's stating the obvious when in verse 2 it says, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. I've always read that and said, well, of course. Why do you waste, you wrote this by hand. Why do you waste ink on that? Of course he was hungry. Yeah, he's telling us he was susceptible. And so what does Satan do? Satan offers us, he offers us what we're most susceptible to in the moments when we're most susceptible to it. So he came to Jesus and said, you're starving. Why don't you do this? He offered Jesus what he was most susceptible to. Jesus was accustomed to glory and power. And so what does Satan do? Throw yourself down. The angels will swoop in and rescue you. Everyone will look and go, and you'll have some of that glory that you have always had in heaven for all eternity. Everyone worshiping you. You'll have a little bit of that. You know you miss that, don't you? He was accustomed to power. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. And he became a man and he put that to one side. And Satan says, listen, you can be the ruler of this. Now, it's not as much as you had before, but you can be the ruler. You miss that, don't you? He knew what Jesus would be most susceptible to and when he would be most susceptible to it. So, a question for us, do you know yourself? What do you most want? And when are you the weakest? When are the times when you're most weak? So you know yourself. Know your enemy is the second way that we recognize temptations. He uses a variety of temptations. We already talked about this. It's not the same for everybody. But look at the three different categories of temptations that he gave Jesus. The desires of the flesh. So for Jesus in that moment, it was food. It was food. I'm sure that, if he would have paraded, drugs and alcohol in front of Jesus in that moment, it wouldn't have been that tempting. Offering him fresh bread, that's really tempting when you're really hungry. What are some of the desires of the flesh that Satan tempts you with? Whether it's gossiping or sexual desires or being inebriated or eating too much food or sleeping too much or wanting too many things, whether you take it or you buy it when you don't need it. What are the things, the desires of the flesh that Satan uses to tempt you? You have to know how he tempts you. But it's not just desires of the flesh. There's this desire for glory, for being recognized. So maybe for you, you don't have a lot of vices, fleshly vices, but maybe for you it's talking about yourself and pumping yourself up and making yourself look big and lying about who you are and what you do and exaggerating and on all, what do you do for glory? What are the glory sins that you commit? What are the sins that have to do with getting power? The third temptation, whether it's belittling others or treating others bad, putting yourself up over other people, having bitterness towards another person. That's a power play. Maybe controlling other people by manipulating them or pushing them. What are some of the power-grabbing temptations that you have? See, he attacks us in different ways. And we have to know, not just ourselves, we have to know our enemy. In 1 Peter 5, it says he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking who he might devour. He prowls around us, and when he tries something with me and I don't fall for it, he tries something else. And I feel really good because, you know, I didn't eat too much last night at midnight, but then today I become prideful and controlling and over my family. What are the sins that he gets you with? The third thing that we see in this story, you have to know yourself, know your enemy, and know the Word of God. Look at how Jesus answered every single temptation. How was he able to see so clearly? This is a temptation. This isn't just something I could do, not just something that would make me feel good. It would be so awesome to throw myself down off the temple. Everyone's watching. Angels swoop in and rescue me. Everyone claps and cheers, and it will be awesome. It was not just I wonder if that's a sin or not. How did he know in the moment that each one of these, I mean, I've read these things before. It's like, why is that a sin? Why would it be wrong for him to turn stones into bread? He's hungry. It's time to eat. He fasted for 40 days. How did he know that these were sins? How do you and I know things are sins in the moment? How do we recognize temptations? We know ourselves, our weaknesses. We know the enemy, how he will tempt us. We also know the Word of God. We should know the Word of God. If we know the Word of God, the more we know the Word of God, the more that we know God's Word, the more that we are able to recognize, wait a second, that doesn't smell right. There's so many things in my around me that and inside of me that make me want to do that and say that and feel that, and I think I'm justified, and I could justify it to pretty much everybody. That doesn't smell right. I don't think that's right. And then a verse comes to mind that we've read, and it's like, oh yeah, that I know that's wrong. I shouldn't do it. How do we recognize temptation? By knowing the Word of God. We know ourselves, we know our enemy, and the more that we know God's Word, the more we know God's will. And just like Jesus, we're able to say in the moment, no. I know that's wrong. I can't justify that. I can't play around with it. That's black and white. God has said, I know I shouldn't do that. I know that is a sin. It'll smell bad. So, when we recognize temptation in the moment, we're able to fight against it. We recognize in order to fight. And when we fight, we can overcome the temptation. But that's what we're going to talk about next week. So hopefully it doesn't snow too hard. And we're all here together next week. I want to give you a task. And even if it does snow too hard, leave early and just drive slowly. Let me give you an assignment for this week that I'm going to do myself. And I would offer if you would like to join me in this. Start being more watchful in your life. As you go through your day, start being more watchful and start recognizing temptations. Say, wait a second. Just say to yourself in your mind, that's a temptation. I'm being tempted right now. And start sharpening that. I think we're pretty good at afterwards saying, that was a temptation. I need to repent. But let's start training ourselves to, just like Jesus in the moment, say, that's a temptation. In this very moment, I'm being tempted. Let's take a break. I'm just going to step back. I need this. I'm being tempted right now. Start practicing that and recognizing that, and then the more you do that, see if you don't start seeing temptations coming down the road. Not just in the moment, but you know what? I think that I'm going to be tempted. I think that this situation is coming up. I think that tonight I'm going to be tired, and I'm going to be sitting there, and I'm going to want to just eat way too much food. Okay, so I'm going to be tempted. So then we are foreseeing temptations, and then when they come upon us, we're able to recognize them instantly. Then we're not surprised by them. We know what they are. We can fight against them, and we can overcome them. So let's start just training ourselves this week to be more aware. And in the moment, be able to say, that's a temptation. That's a temptation. Why don't we stand together? We'll pray. Then we will sing. God, we come to you. We thank you. Thank you for giving us an example from Jesus' life of the weakness that he experienced and how he was tempted. And when we really think about that, God, it gives us so much encouragement because we know how weak we feel when we are tempted. And to know that Jesus was tempted just as we are, but he never was taken by surprise. He never sinned. God, help us to imitate his example. Help us to know in the moment that we're being tempted. And help us to fight against it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.